Praise God. Let's all turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. You know, last week when Debbie spoke, or last time we were together, she spoke and she talked about, she used the scripture out of Timothy, says that these are perilous times, times of distress. You know, and it is true that it is times of distress, and we need to be ready for these times. And so tonight, this is just out of Peter, this is another warning to us about the times that we're entering in. I just think it's truly amazing that we can read through the scriptures and we know that it's true and it's God speaking to us, but then all of a sudden, in a time and a space, the scripture is revealed, is what it is. It is revealed. And God is beginning to reveal certain scriptures to us to show us and to just, I think it's more of a comfort to us, is to comfort us in that, to know that He is aware of what is going on and what is happening, you know, because that is a comfort. You know, so a lot of times we think a comfort, we just, but it's not that kind of a comfort. It's a comfort to reassure us, yes, that we are in that time and we are in that space and that time, that He knows what's going on and what to do about it, if we'll just follow after His word. And so let's start with chapter 2 here in 2 Peter. And I'm going to read a few verses and we're just going to talk about it. It says, "But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." You know, we are seeing this now, and you can see this in every area of life, that there are false prophets and false teachers out there. They are out there and they are leading people astray. They're there, and God will open your eyes and you will see them. They're in churches, they're in business, they're in politics, they're everywhere. They're these false preachers, these false prophets and teachers. And we look here at 1 Timothy 4. 1 and 2. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." You know, we are seeing this to a great degree these days in many things, that there are people out there that are deceived and being deceived, and they know what they're doing, and they're leading people astray, and it's a sad, sad situation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "My speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but of demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And that is where the church has left, has grown weak. We have been persuaded by the speech of men, and we are not seeing the power of God. And we have let go of the power of God, and we have got to get back to understanding and operating in the power of God, or we will be led astray. There's so many Christian people who are being led astray right now that are weak in their faith because they do not know about the power of God, or they reject the power of God, and they're being led astray because these people are out there. And what is interesting is they secretly bring destructive heresies, even denying that of the Lord who bought them. You know, we have, Gordon mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and you're hearing this a lot on certain stations and stuff, about collective salvation and liberation theology. You know, that they are denying that the Lord bought them. They're talking, a collective salvation is a liberation theology that says that you will get your salvation by what you do, and we will get it together as a group, as one. If we all do the right thing, then we will be saved. But if you think this through clearly as a Christian, Who gets to decide what the right thing is? Who gets to decide that? Because they're denying that Jesus is Lord when they do this. And so Jesus is not, and so that means that the Word of God is not going to be the decision of what is going to save you, because they deny that the Lord even bought them. And that is a scary situation, because there are many Christian people who are buying into this theology. They're buying into this lie, this heresy, and they are going to be destroyed. You know, every person, every one of you sitting here today must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He must be your Savior and yours alone. You cannot get in on Mama's say-so. You cannot get on Grandma's say-so. You can't get in on the pastor's say-so. You have to get in on your say-so, because you have said that Jesus is Lord. And you have made Him Lord of your life. And you absolutely have to have this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And unless indeed you are disqualified, or that you don't stand the test, you have to test yourself. It's not up to me to say if you're saved. It's not up to pastor to say if you're saved. You need to check yourself to see if you're saved. This is not condemnation. I don't want you to get into that condemnation of, oh, am I saved? Do you confess that Jesus is Lord? If you do, then you are saved. Do you make Jesus Lord of your life? You are saved. But you have to know for yourself that you are saved. And there are people sitting in hundreds and thousands of churches this very day, this very night, that does not know. They do not examine themselves, and they do not know that Jesus is their Lord. That is a sad thing. It is a sad thing to think that there are thousands and millions of people sitting in church buildings that will go to hell if they die, because they were never brought under the Word. They would never examine themselves. They never looked at this book for themselves to find out that Jesus was their Lord. And it's time that we know if Jesus is our Lord. And I take for granted that everybody here is saved. Praise God. But don't be deceived by that, the thinking that everybody goes to church and everybody that says, well, Jesus this or Jesus that, they don't. There's people that can quote you scripture that they are not saved. They are not. And it's sad, because they have not accepted Jesus as Lord. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it's a one page over. It says, I marvel you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we preach, even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. There are people out there preaching another Christ. They are preaching that there is collective salvation. There are people out there that believe that if we all do the right thing, if we all give the right amount, if we all collectively act on something, then we are going to heaven, and they are wrong. They are wrong. Do not be deceived by this. And we have politicians that stand up and preach and say they're saved and declare the gospel and pound on the Bible. I've seen them standing in the Congress beating on this Bible and say, my grandmother, my old mother, and giving out the scriptures. But then they do other things that is contrary to this Word. So I praise God, I don't judge the heart, Because I'll tell you the truth, because some of these people, what comes out of their mouth certainly doesn't reflect what I think is in their heart. And that is unfortunate. Now, we should be judging the fruit of these people. We do not condemn them, and we do not judge them to hell, but we judge whether we want to follow after them or listen to them. And then pray for them that they'll get it straight. Amen? Amen. And it says in verse 2 of 2 Peter that many will follow. That is a scary thing to think about, that many, many will follow these false doctrines and the heresies that are going out. In Matthew 24, verse 11, I'm going to read two scriptures. Verse 11, it says, there are many false prophets that will rise and deceive many. This is a scripture where they ask him about the end time. The disciples asked Jesus, and he said, there will be many false prophets who will rise up and many will be deceived. In verse 24, he says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonder to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now that's just kind of serious stuff there, that even the elect can be drawn astray, that they can be drawn by these. That's why you have to know, you have to examine yourself, and you have to know what you believe. You have to know if you believe this word. You have to know what the word says before you can know if you believe it. So you have to know what the word says. Verse 3, it says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction shall or will not slumber. This sounds so much like what is going on right now. It says here, because of covetousness, they will exploit you. There are people out there who will make promises to you that they can't keep to start with. But one of the things, and Gordon gave me a little book, and it's about Rules for Radical, and it's Rules for Revolution. They'll be your friend just to persuade you to join them. They'll pretend to know what you need. They'll pretend to be like you in order to persuade you to do the things that they're doing, to get you on their side. Now, that is because of the covetousness, they will exploit you. And if for a long time their judgment has not been idle, this is a plan that's been in the works since the beginning of time. The devil has been trying to get this world back, you know? And he knows that he's not going to get it back, but he's going to take as many people as he can with him when he goes down. And if he can deceive you, if he can cause you to think that this collective salvation, if there's any other Christ, that if he can deceive you in that, he will do it because he would love. Because I'll tell you, it's just like when Jim Baker fell. They said that the church was just wiped away, and you know, the people just left, just quit church because he fell, because their salvation was based on his salvation, on his relationship. They didn't have a relationship. What they based their relationship on was what Jim was coming out of Jim Baker's mouth. And I'm sure that man didn't want that to happen. But people, you have got to know what you know. You've got to know what you believe. And you better know in whom you believe. You know, we preach all the scriptures here, and we show you where it's at. And it's, what's funny is one time, Dick says to me, he says, why do you do that? Why do you follow along? He says, I believe Gordon. I believe what he says. I trust him. And I do too. But you know what? Make it a practice to read it for yourself. Make it a practice. Because I'll tell you, who's to say that there won't be somebody in this pulpit someday that will tell you a lie? That won't be preaching the word. God forbid. God forbid. But you know, don't be deceived by that. And that's what I told him. I said, look, I know that Gordon wouldn't lie to us. I know that he preaches out of the word. But you better know it for yourself. so that when Gordon isn't here to tell you the truth, the next person that comes in, you'll know whether they're telling you the truth. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So because they're out there to exploit you. They want to exploit you. And they've been at it for a long, long time. Amen. Let's look at verse 4 here. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be received for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to the destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelt among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. We're seeing it today. They are presumptuous. They know what's best for you. They're smarter than you are. They know what's best for you. They know how to tell you how to raise your children. They're smarter than you are. They've been to college, and they've been to this place and that place. They've run with the right crowd. They've grown up in the right places. I had a teacher one time tell me that I didn't know how to raise my kids. That was the teacher's job to do that. And that I didn't know what I was doing. And that I should just, take my hands off of it. She said, we watch people like you who come into schools and watch what kids... Because I said, I go to school to see, to help out and see what's going on. We watch people like you. Isn't that wonderful? She knows more than I knew about my own kids, how to raise my kids. How presumptuous. They're out there by the thousands, people. They are presumptuous. They know more than you are. After all, you live in West Virginia. And those of you who don't, come over here. If you were smart like they were, you would stay out of this place. Presumptuous. It is the truth. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. What is interesting about this, in the old King James, it calls it dignities. And when you look that up, it talks about glorious praise and worship. And one of the little footnotes in here is the glorious ones. They speak evil of the glorious ones. They speak evil of those who worship God. They speak evil of those who praise the Lord. Is it not true? Aren't you seeing that nowadays? Let's look at Jude verses 3 and 8. 3 through 8. Beloved, while I am very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper dominion, have left their own abode, he was reserved and he was has reserved in everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in the similar manner to these having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh and have set forth as an example of the suffering and the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignities. These are the people who speak against those who praise the Lord, who believe in what is right, who worship God. And if you don't think it's true, they speak evil of everyone, the church. They speak evil of Jesus. And you can see it in the books. You can hear it in their words. You can see it in their hear it in their music. You can see it in the movies. They are speaking evil. They are speaking evil of those who believe in God, those who believe and worship God. They speak evil of you. They speak evil. Don't be so innocent that you don't recognize this. You don't need to get a hard heart about it, but don't be dumb about it. Don't be dumb about it. Don't let them take dominion over you, because they will. It's just one of the things of the Da Vinci Code. It was an evil, evil movie. It was on the other night. It was on TV the other night. It was an evil, evil movie. I mean, that was the most crude, horrible thing anybody could say about Jesus. I mean, it was terrible. And yet the church didn't rise up and say anything about it. But you know what? If we say anything about Jesus in public, we're just terrible people. We want a little freedom to preach. If we speak against certain things in the church, we are condemned because we are racist. But yet they can say the things that they said about Jesus in this one particular movie. That's just one movie that they talked terrible about him. So they do. They speak evil against dignitaries, against dignities, against those who worship God. All you have to do is read their books, listen to their music, and watch their movies, and you'll see it. Let's look at verses 11 through 16. Whereas angels are not great, who are great in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, may be made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and they will surely perish in their own corruption, and will receive wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it a pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots of blemish and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. Get this? While they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained for covetous practice and are accursed children. They are enticing unstable souls. Do not be an unstable soul. They are among us. Do not take part of this. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of this prophet. Balaam is the prophet that the king sent people to get Balaam so that he would prophesy against everybody else. And the king would pay him. The king would pay him money to prophesy against other people so that he could take over territory. This is, you know, there are people out there today who will take money to speak evil. They will actually take money to speak evil and then proclaim that, you know, they are right and that they have a right to say these things and to do these things. Let's look at 2 Timothy first. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 3 and 4, it says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." You know, this is happening out there. People pay to hear. Global warming.
Yes.
Global warming. People pay that man to tell them about stuff that, if they would just think it out practically, cannot possibly be true. I mean, for the last few days, the earth has had a temperature. I don't know if you noticed or not. It's been awfully hot out there. People pay money to hear this stuff because they want to. Their ears itch to hear this stuff. They want to hear this stuff. They want to hear evil. They want to hear wrong doctrine. They want to be deceived, and they will pay for it. It's crazy. I'm telling you, the world is crazy. Sorry, they just are. They just are. They're just nuts. Oh, they certainly are not in the right light, that's for sure. But they want to hear these things, and they'll pay for it. It's crazy. It's just, oh, they're just nuts. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 says, "For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincere, but as from God. We speak in the sight of God in Christ." And this tells me right here that there are some that will peddle the word of God. They'll come and preach to you what you want to hear. They'll tell you. They'll come for pay. They'll come and hear what you, and preach to you what you want to hear. Not the truth. Not what is right. But what will tickle your ears. And that's not their fault. That's our fault. Because we're willing to pay. And it's wrong. We've got to know what we believe. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, verses 17 through 19. It says, "These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. They promise liberty. They promise liberty. Let me tell you something. There is nobody who can give you liberty but Jesus. Nobody. I don't care. I don't care what the situation is. Nobody can give you liberty but Jesus himself. You are not, even if you are a slave, you are in bondage to no man, because only Jesus gives you liberty. Only Jesus. Amen. Jude 16 says, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." You know, when we look at this scripture, we always look at, they are grumblers, complainers, and walking according to the flesh, the lust of the flesh. But we don't concentrate on their mouths. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. It's happening out there in the world. They are great orators. They speak great swelling words, and they flatter you, promising liberty. But what they're doing is only bringing bondage. Bondage is the only thing that man will give you when they do this. Bondage is what it is. They cannot give you liberty. No matter how wonderful an orator they are. Now, it doesn't matter how great a speaker they are. I'll tell you, there are some pretty good speakers out there. And they can capture you with great swelling words. And it sounds so wonderful. I mean, there's ministers out there that oh, great words. I mean, when they speak, you're just in awe. But are they speaking the word of God? Are you listening to what they say, or just the technique, and you're brought into bondage? Amen? Amen. Trust yourself to no one. There's three things here I want to get across to you. Trust yourself to no one. Now, that sounds really harsh and really hard. And I know that you have to learn to trust people, but you better know who they are and what they believe before you trust them. Don't trust yourself to just anybody who comes along. They're out there with great swelling words, promising you all kinds of stuff, and they are lying to you because they cannot deliver. They cannot. In John chapter 2, this is a scripture where it talks about Jesus trusted no man. He gave himself to no man. I want to read this to you. It reads just a little bit different than what we've quoted it so many times. But it's chapter 2, verse 24. And now when he, that is Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs in which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. He committed himself to no man. And if Jesus is not willing to commit himself to no man, then we shouldn't be either. Like I said, you need to have people that you do trust, but just don't trust anybody that speaks. Don't trust anybody, just anybody that says things. And there are people out there that will just trust anything and anybody that speaks. They just say, well, my mother used to read these scandal magazines, these the tabloid things. And I'd say, Mother, why do you read that stuff? Well, they couldn't print it if it wasn't true. That's what she believed. She believed that, you know, that if they couldn't print it if it wasn't true. And it's just like, there's people that believe that stuff. There are people that believe all this junk just because it was printed or because somebody said it. Well, they couldn't. What has to be true, he said so. And that is just a lie. Do not trust that kind of stuff. Know for yourself. Don't trust that. Amen? In Proverbs it says, lean not onto your own understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And he will direct your path. So you need to not do that. Don't lean on that. Don't lean on man or any person. Lean on Jesus. And second is, you have to know what you believe. You have to know what you believe. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 18, starting in 18, it says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For they, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have the anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. Let me read this to you from this particular verse 20 from the Message Bible. I thought this was so good. It says, the Holy One anointed you, and you know it. I haven't been writing this to tell you something that you didn't know, but to confirm the truth you do know, and to remind you that the truth doesn't lie. I thought that, you know, because sometimes we read that and it's a little confusing about that. But he says, the Holy One has anointed you. When you became born again, there was an anointing in you. God came into you, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one came to you, came into you. So you have that anointing in you. And the things that people, we know what the word says. And this is what John is saying to these people. You know what has been written. You know what has happened. You have heard these things. Now don't believe the lie. Don't be deceived. We've got to be careful not to be deceived. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Know what you believe. You know, sometimes we talk about we've got to believe, we've got to believe. And that is true. You have to believe. It's important to believe. But you got to know what you believe. Because one of these days, somebody's going to ask you, why do you believe that? And if you don't have an answer for them, it's not going to help them to believe. So we have to know what we believe. And because when we don't know what we believe, we can be deceived. And there are people out there who are deceiving and trying to deceive, who want to take you out of the hands of Christ. You got to know what you believe. And then the third thing is, we have got to speak up for what is right. You know, the church has been sitting silent for way too long. Way too long. We've just been sitting silently, letting the world do whatever they want. All in the name of love. All, you know, because we love, and, you know, we love everybody, and we don't want to cause any trouble. And you know that the scripture says that they will know us by our love. So we don't want to do anything that will upset anybody. And in the whole deal, in the whole way that it's been going, first they took prayer out of school, and we sat by and says, "Oh, well, you know, that's okay. Prayer really belongs in church anyway and at home. We shouldn't really be..." You know, and then the next wave came, and it's, we, you know, allowed abortion to just be done for whatever purpose and to the fullest extent of whatever it was. Well, you know, that this is a moral issue, and I've even said that's really a moral issue, and you know, it, and you know, if we just teach people the right way, they won't do these things. And the church sat by and let it go. And now we're in a situation where if we just speak up to the slightest bit, we are considered racist and, yep, and everything else. Racist and bigots and homophobes. And we, that is what, if we say one word, and that's because we have allowed them to just do whatever they pleased. We just allowed the church, or we allowed the world to take control of us by doing nothing. By doing nothing. You know, and Gordon said a couple Sundays ago, Sunday mornings ago, he said, "When the Nazis came for the Jews, I said nothing. When the Nazis came for the Christians, I said nothing. And they took them. And now they've come for me, and there's no one to say anything, so they're going to take me too." And that's the way the church has been. We have not spoken up and said no. You know, and the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 4 says, "Know what you believe and speak." And we speak because we believe. And we have got to speak up for what is right in this world. We've got to speak up for Jesus. We've got to, or they are going to just continue to take more and more and more control of our lives. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I won't keep you too much longer. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontal between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a large and plentiful city which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord your Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. If we will abide by those verses, we will not be deceived. We will know what we believe. We will speak up for what is right. And we will not be led astray. We should read these every day and just get them implanted into your heart. Because, you know, he will bless us when we make our oath to him. When we pledge our allegiance to God and give our heart, soul, mind, and strength to him, he will bless us beyond measure. Beyond measure, even when there is times of distress, he will be there. Because in times of distress, in times of the latter days and the evil times, he may be the only thing that you have to hold on to. So you have to know him and have a personal relationship with him in order to stay strong and not be deceived. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Father, you've made the plan complete and clear. You have made it so clear for us if we will just follow the plan.
Yes.
Lord God, we worship you and thank you, Father, that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. And Father, we thank you that you have made a way. When there seemed to be no way, you have always made a way for your people. And so, Father, we praise you and thank you that even during these times of distress, even during the times of good, which it has been, Lord, and in the times of distress, you are there. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. When times are good, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. In times of distress, help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord, because you are our only hope. You are our only chance to be delivered. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to be strong in a faith, be able to speak in what is true, to lead others to you, Lord God, that we would be a shining example in the world of Jesus to all that we are around and all that we speak and all that we do. Father, we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you.